Good morning, happy Sabbath, everybody. It's a treat for me to worship with you because I don't get to come to this worship very often. I'm always with the Vietnamese group. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share your God words. And I have to apologize to Hung and Vương because I backed out of the winter camp. Hear all the testimony and how wonderful it was from the Vietnamese service and from you guys this morning, and we'll try and make it next year. But it was a blessing, so thank you. Thank you for organizing. Okay, so let's get into God's words. And the message I name it this morning is When God Calls. When God Calls. How many of you have heard the story of Moses? I think most of us are very familiar with the story of Moses, right? Moses is a very big person in the Bible, very close. He wrote the first five books of the Bible. He is basically viewed as the world-famous leader ever. And this morning we're gonna look at how God called Moses. So let's turn our Bible into Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 14. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 14. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that through the bush, it was under fire, did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over there and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave driver. I'm concerned about their suffering, so I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptian and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptian was oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israel out of Egypt? And God said, I be with you. And this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and said to them, The God of your father have sent me to you. And they asked me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This is the calling of Moses. And we know that Moses was born, what nationality? Anybody know? He's born a Hebrew. He's born a Hebrew. His parents were slaves in the land of Egypt. The Hebrew, even though they were slaves, they worked really hard, but because of God's blessing, they keep expanding. They were very prosperous. So the Egyptian was very, very jealous of them. They hated them. Because all these, you know, slaves supposed to be poor and and destitute, but because of God's help, they were pretty prosperous. So one day, the king of the Egyptian, the Pharaoh, gave a decree to say that any boy who's born had to be thrown into the river to die. And that was pretty cruel. So that's during the time when Moses was born. His mom did not want to throw him to the river, so she hid him in the house for 3 months. She hid him in the house for 3 months, and when he was growing up a little bit, you know, crying louder, she knew she couldn't hid him any longer. So what she did is she took a basket, and she put him in the basket, and she prayed about it, and she put him in the river near the bushes. That one day, the princess went to bathe in the river, and she saw the basket. She opened it up, and she knew it was a Hebrew boy. But Moses looked so cute. And in the Bible, it says he looked very handsome. So she took compassion, and she took him home to become an adopted son. So when Moses was 40 years old, he went out and he saw the injustice, because the Egyptian, 40 years later, the Egyptian was still pretty cruel to the Israelites. So he got mad and he killed a man. He killed a man, so when the story came out, the king was really mad, because he knew that he was not an Egyptian, he was a Hebrew. The king wanted to kill Moses, so Moses then ran away, and he went to the land of Midianite. Okay, next one. So how far is Egypt from Midian? Egypt, this is where Moses grew up. He traveled, and this is the land of Midian. He traveled, and it's a long distance. It's probably take a good three, four days for him to get over here to run away from the king of Egypt. So he lived over here. When God called Moses, he was tending sheep. This is his area. He was taking his sheep here and here, back and forth. And here at the Mount Sinai is when God called him. Okay, so he was here in the desert. So I'm going to go back and we look at our Exodus chapter 3 and take the sixth lesson I want you to learn from this morning, okay? So bear with me. You have about, 20 minutes? All right. So in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, what did Moses do when God called him? What happened on that day that was special? It said, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw. Okay. So verse 3, Moses thought, I'll go over there and see this strange sight. So two actions that Moses took that day. One is that he saw. The other one is he turned aside and stepped and looked. As we know, in the desert, there's a lot of dry bushes. And this is what it looked like in the desert then. The bushes, because it's really dry and with the hot sun, sometimes it just burn up naturally. So you think, is it possible that Moses was called many times before this? To the burning bush that didn't die? Probably. 40 years in the desert. 40 years he was tending sheep. He was really busy with his life. He was worried about his job. He's really, you know, worrying about sheep. And maybe God called him many times, but he never saw it. He never saw the calling of God. But that day, he took the time and he looked. And he turned on the side. To our lesson number one, we want to see God, we want to meet God, we must seek Him with all our heart. Let's not be so occupied with our occupation, with our life. Sometimes we miss His calling, we might have missed the opportunity. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, there's a promise in there that should be very dear to us. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. Anybody have it? Can you read it out loud? Chapter 29, verse 13. This is the promise. God said, you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart. And sometimes I think, you know, in our life we're so busy, we don't really seek God with our heart. We pray, but our mind wander. We do things, but we don't really seek God. Okay. So when God called, what did God tell Moses to do? Back to Exodus chapter 3. What did God tell Moses to do? Samuel, what did God tell Moses to do? Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. God said, take off your sandals. Take off your sandals. In that period of time, shoe or sandal is a very important part to that person. Shoe is something that was considered very dear, very near, and very private. How many of you have only one pair of shoe? Let me see your hand. How many of you only have one pair of shoe? Tony? Really, Tony? You only have one pair of shoe? Most of us have more than one pair of shoe, I have to say. You know, some of us have 5 pair, 10 pair. Some of us have 100 pair. Well, Imelda Marcos have thousands of pairs of shoes, right? So shoe to us nowadays is not as dear. But back then, shoe was very private to that person. Shoe is what they, most person probably only have one pair of shoe, okay? Another point I want to make is Moses is walking in the desert. How hot is the desert? Very hot, right? And God said, take off your shoe. That makes sense? Wow, it's hot, God. It's really hot. I take off my shoe. My feet gonna burn and I can't really walk. But on that day, God said, take off your shoes. Take off your sandal. Sometimes we hold on to things. We think it's really important to us. God said, put it down. But sometimes we said, that doesn't make any sense, God. Maybe he didn't mean it. Maybe I heard wrong. You know, God didn't tell me to take off my shoes. But God told him to take off his shoe. The point is, do we believe enough in him to take off our shoes? In that culture, at that point, taking off shoe is also show reverence, just like in our Oriental culture, right? We go to people's home, we take off our shoe, kind of respect and reverent. So when we worship God and we listen to him, we must do it also with respect and reverent. Let's read in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Anybody can read for me? God said, to obey is to is better than sacrifice. A lot of time we say, we're doing this, we're doing that. We offer, we do tithe. But God said, to obey is more important than to sacrifice. That's lesson number two. When God calls, he tests us to our obedience. Do we take off our shoe or put things aside that is dear or valuable to us when he calls us? Do we worship him with all our heart and with all our mind? So when God called Moses, what was his responsibility? What did God tell Moses to do? Christine, you have, I think you know. Go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So God said, go and bring my people out. Moses' job, what was his responsibility? God said, you know, I hear all this oppression, all these things, all the people who were suffering in the land of Egypt, and I really want you to go and bring my people out. When God called us to do something, it's not our job to save other people. God didn't call Moses to go save my people out of Egypt. Bring my people out of Egypt. Our responsibility when we do something is to only bring people from point A to point B. That's all. We're not savior. Only God can save. Our responsibility is to show the people the right way, right? To bring them from point A to point B. When Moses led the people in the desert for 40 years, whenever the cloud stopped, he told the people to stop. Whenever the cloud start to move, then he tell the people, pick up your tent and start moving. Moses did not lead the people. He followed the direction of God to lead the people. So, when God called us to help other people, our job is to help them to a better place as appointed by God. It's always a better place. Remember the people in bondage? The people was in Egypt where they were slaves. God tell Moses to bring them out of bondage. What do God tell us to do today? Our bondage to go to where? What's our hope? Why do we in church every Sabbath? We hope for a better home, for heaven. Our job is to show people how to get to heaven, how to get to a better land, a land that is so full of milk and honey, right? And that's our job. Okay. But when God called, how did Moses answer him? What did Moses said? And I think we say this a lot too whenever God called. Moses said, who am I? Who am I that you tell me to go? Who am I? And you think about it, Moses was born a Hebrew. He was raised an Egyptian because he was become an adopted son of the princess. And then when he ran away, he married a Midianite and lived like a Midianite. He really didn't know. He couldn't really say he was truly a Hebrew. He couldn't really say that he's an Egyptian. But he also feel kind of uncomfortable because he's not really a Midianite also. Is that true with us? I mean, I know it's true with me. You know, I'm born in Vietnam. I come over here. My Vietnamese is no good. My English is no good because so many accent. So when God called, I always said, God, why me? She speaks better. She does it better. He does it better. in our lifetime. You know, we're so caught in our culture. We're so afraid to step out. And I think, when you think about it, a lot of us are so reluctant because we think it's us, right? But what did God tell him? What did God tell him? Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And God said, I will be with you. God said, I will be with you. So the lesson for us in this section is it's not who we are that is important, but it's who we are with. If God is with us, then we have nothing to fear. We don't have to wonder who we are. We know that we're just an instrument that God uses us. And if we are willing, then he can use that instrument to help other people. I know Psalm 23, verse 4 is very dear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Do we believe that? We read it all the time. We read it day in and day out. Though I travel to the valley of death, but I will fear no evil. But a lot of time when God tells us to do something, we're always fearful, right? Do we really believe that? So even in that conversation, Moses still wanted a sign. Did God give him a sign already? He did. The burning bush that didn't die down. But he wasn't happy with that. He said, God, if you're going to tell me to go to the Israelite, give me a sign. It was written in the Bible, but the way God answered, I know that he asked for a sign, because if you can read in verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. And God said, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Next slide, please. Okay. So the people of Egypt, this is where they end up in bondage, right? This is where God told Moses to lend the people. Canaan is here. This is where God's people are supposed to go. But because they didn't obey him, they end up in the desert. But God knew that ahead of time. So God said, the sign that I've sent you is that you are going to worship me on this mountain. Where is this mountain? Where was Moses when God called him the first time? 40 years. Right here, this is Mount Horeb, or the same as Mount Sinai. Okay, this is the mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Okay, next slide. This is the Mount Sinai right now. That's what people think. This is the place where God led the people out. This is the plain, and this is the mountain that Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments. So God did not, remember, if we read that verse correctly, God did not give him a sign. But God said, the sign is that you get there if I lead you. The sign is that God has said, and God does not lie. Sometimes we bargain with God. We say, you know, God, if you really want to call me, show me some sign. Let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Okay. But in the Bible, let's read through Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great promise. God is not a man that he should lie. That he speak and then not act. That he promise and then not fulfill. That's the God that we serve. When God said, it's enough that God said it, and we need to follow. Lesson number 5. When God calls and tells us to do something, he will help us get to our destination, just like Moses led the people to the land of Canaanites. But Moses still not happy. Moses was still very thinking about himself. He said, you know what, God? But if go to the Israelite and they said, who are you? Then what do I tell them? Do you think at this point Moses really know God? Maybe a little bit. He lived with the Mennonite, who's a priest. His father-in-law was a priest. But 40 years, he ran away, and he really didn't, I don't know how much communion, how much he know about God. Probably know, because God called him, but he kind of still have a lot of hesitation, just like us, right? A lot of time we in church for a long time, been born in SDA, grew up, sometimes it's like, who are you, God? What are you telling me to do? So what did God said to Moses? Who is he? Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. How did God answer? What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. What does that mean? God, there's no creator of God. God is the creator of all. He existed before the world was created. He's the creator of all. He said, tell them, I am who I am. But he didn't leave it at that. Even though God is so powerful, he's so high, but we find a lot of time in the Bible, God go by different names also. And he say, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Why do those names attached to the name of God? How did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became the name of God? One pastor said that God is willing to change his name for us. He loves us so much that he's willing to change his name for us. Just like Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, if we truly believe that he's our Savior and really accept him as our Savior, we can say, you are my God. You are the God of Min Meredith. You are the God of Jessica Denton. You are the God of Sarah Tom. Isn't that wonderful? Do we have that relationship with him? Or he just like an all-powerful? He just created the world and out there somewhere. Or is he really true our true God? Is he so personal to us that we can say, you are my God. You are the God of my life. So this morning, I know our time is up. I want to remind each one of us that God is calling each one of us. Some of you might have accepted him as your personal savior already, and some of you may not. If you have not, he's calling you. Some of us may accept him, but we all still hold on to things that is valuable to us. He's telling us take off your sandal, put it down, follow me. Are we willing to follow him? Some of us might be called to help with different ministry, but we're still asking, who am I? I don't have the talent, God. We are afraid. Some of us, some of you, may be called to be leaders, like Moses. But you may feel that I don't have enough talent and ability. I stutter. Please send somebody else. So think about whatever circumstances you're in, I'm in. Let's just remember that we need to listen to God calling. We need to seek him with all heart. We need to put aside things that hinder our relationship with him. Let's not worry about our weaknesses, but know that he will bring us to our goal. Our job is to follow him and to trust him. So this morning, I wish each one of you a blessed journey with God and listen to his voice, because I know that he's calling you and calling me every moment. Happy Sabbath.